Blog Talk Radio.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Hello and welcome to the 18th episode of the Being Brilliant radio show. This is Amy Hackett-Jones, your host, happiness and high-performance coach for being brilliant in the way you both live and lead your life and those around you. You can find me at www.amyhackett.jones.com. The Being Brilliant radio show is a deep and impactful look at what it takes to be brilliant. The show invites you, my listeners, to step into the very essence of who you are being as you show up to life. My guests bring a combination of ancient wisdom teachings coupled with practical tools and essential life and leadership skills translated into actionable strategies so that our listeners may step into being the very best version of themselves. Interviewees are high performers, thought leaders, game changers, soul activators, pioneers, dreamers, adventurers, wisdomers, visionaries, as well as friends and family, those whom I believe live brilliantly and who travel magically through life, shining their light so others may do the same. Now, today, I am very, very excited to welcome somebody whom I've shared a lot with over the years. We met in Panama, believe it or not. She's from Australia, currently living in New Zealand, and she is the transformation coach. Her name is Belinda Benn. And Belinda is a real powerhouse when it comes to talking about the body, physique, and not just the physical transformation of what she helps her clients achieve, but also the internal transformation. And really, she oozes being brilliant left, right, and center. So, Belinda, welcome to the show. It is such a huge pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you, Amy. I'm very excited to share a little of my story and help inspire some of your listeners and also reconnect with you.
I know. It's been a little while, but it was such a wonderful time we shared together back in Panama. We really both evolved a lot since those days, both personally and also in the online sphere. So it's just such a wonderful time, really, to connect with you at the moment. Now, the Being Brilliant show is all really about sharing your story and sharing some of your deepest insights with our listeners so that they may follow you and really connect with a deeper brilliance of themselves. So I really want to just step right off the bat into your story because it really is such an amazing one, such an inspirational one. So just tell us a little bit of your background. So I know you started out in an executive career. So just start telling us a little bit about that and then how you got to the point in Panama where you decided to completely transform your life.
Okay, I'll try and give you the short version, and please feel free to jump in as I'm going if you have any questions. So, like many of us when we're at school, often it's difficult to know the direction we want to go in life, and we kind of just head off. So I headed off in the direction of being a classical musician. I was a professional double bass player. And then I quickly found that wasn't what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. But then what now? And I just somehow fell into the cosmetic industry in my early 20s. And I was lucky enough to be appointed the National Training Manager of Shiseido Australia in my late 20s. And that was a great foundation in sales and marketing and training and management. And I worked with all women. So it gave me a lot of insight into the challenges that women face throughout the various phases of their life and the decades of their life. And I kind of made a few mental notes to myself at that age, looking at the women I was training and managing in their 40s and 50s and thinking, okay, what are the things that I need to watch out for and avoid when I get to that stage of my life, as I inevitably did. So then as the clock ticks by, so that's actually become part of my coaching. A big thrust of it is how our life changes through our 20s, 30s, 40s and 50s and even 60s and 70s, and how we need to adjust our approach, both from our health, fitness and well-being, but also just how we view ourselves in the world. So what happened in my kind of mid-30s, I went back to uni, I reskilled, I got an MBA specialising in electronic commerce and started working in the IT industry, which was the antithesis of makeup, nails yep. and perfume. That was a bit of a wake-up call, but in a good way that it made me realise that as you've got to understand, I've got an online business today. I'm 52 years old. I didn't grow up with technology. I got my first mobile phone when I was 27. I touched my first computer, in my first executive position at 29. So it's been a very big learning curve to get into understanding the potential and power of the online world. And so I just saying that, dropping that in for anyone listening today, who kind of feels like, maybe I missed the boat or left it too late or, I'm kind of over the hill. No, it's never, ever too late. That's one of my kind of key messages, that we all can, there's still opportunities for us. It's just the limitations are in our thinking, right? So yep. I reskilled myself, and then out of the blue, I experienced a traumatic divorce. It was very unexpected. I was very religious at the time, and I found out that my husband had been, even though he preached sometimes in church, for example, and were very committed, that he'd been cheating on me for half my marriage, which was, I think at that time he'd been married about 16 years. He'd been cheating for 8 years of that with prostitutes and so on. And not only that, we had been trying to have a baby, and he refused to go to fertility testing. And so I had a lot of stuff going on, right? And it was just a very sudden shock that the world as I thought I knew it was not, did not exist, and I felt like the person I was married to was a stranger, that it wasn't really the person that I was, that he was portraying to me, that there was this kind of secret life going on. And that caused me to question everything, right down to my personal beliefs and all of my relationships, even with my family. And when you go through something like that, which is pretty traumatic, and then tied in with that was the fact that I'd wanted children, and why hadn't I been able to fall pregnant, and then finding out that it was a good explanation for that, which just tied into his cheating, that you just kind of go, where do I start? I just felt like my whole world had crumbled. And to help me heal, I decided to go traveling. And so I sold up everything, got my surfboard, and went traveling in Central America, and I went to Spain as well, and I learned Spanish, I learned to surf. And it was during that time that someone who had never exercised in their life up to the age of 37, I started to see my body change, because I was eating well, I was exercising, and then I ended up living in Panama, as you know, and I started to
You'd had asthma as well, hadn't you, as a child?
Yeah, that's right. I'd had childhood asthma, so I was in and out of hospital a lot. I almost died from asthma when I was 18, I think. I was in intensive care, and so that I had a mental block about exercise, and any time that I felt any discomfort from exertion, physical exertion, I would pull back. And so that kind of limited me to understanding my potential. So one day in the gym, and I may have shared that with you, I don't remember, that I was doing some kind of exercise, and I felt the discomfort kicking in and the muscle burning. And I felt the fear rising up, and I thought, okay, I'm just going to push through this and see what happens. And I did. And nothing happened. I was fine. And then I realized it was this sort of artificial barrier that was fear-based. And that was the beginning of being able to get really lean and strong, because I let go of those fears. So, yeah, I ended up in Panama and got into the fitness industry and saw an opportunity there online based on my past experiences and studies, and decided to kind of give it a shot. and enabled me to kind of build a business outside of Panama, which is a third world country, that was global and would give me the freedom to live and work anywhere I wanted.
Now, I know that was that particular point in your life was very important for you, wasn't it? To be able to create a business that was not location dependent.
Yes, I think so, because, you know, obviously living along on the other side of the world, almost on the opposite side of the world to my home country, it's a long, long way. And I enjoyed the freedom of being able to travel and live in different cultures and, you know, have other languages. But at the same time, you know, you have to have a source of income. And, for most people, that means a home base. But the beauty of the online world is that, you know, you are mobile and it does give you that freedom. It comes with a different price, you know, nothing's a perfect world. So the problem is the opposite. It's always there. It's 24/7, you know, on your phone, you know, on your iPad, and asking you to do stuff and respond. You can't sort of shut the door and go, okay, lights off, you know. It's always lights on. When you've got an online business. But it gave me the fantastic opportunity to, one, get out of the corporate world, which I really didn't want to go back to, you know, what I perceived as quite a suffocating environment where, you know, you've got to comply to, you know, the corporate rules and regulations and ways of doing things.
I remember listening to an audio or a video of yours just recently, and you talked about that, how you arrived in Panama and you went for an interview at a telecommunications company.
Yep.
And then you left the building before you got into the interview. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, it was. It was. It was a defining moment because I'd kind of been able to live in my thongs and shorts and t-shirt for quite a while, and I put on the stockings and the suit and the high shoes, which was all seems like quite a big effort. And I got in there and I was just, you know, waiting to be called in. I was in the waiting room and I just could feel those stockings. They felt like a corset on my legs. And I'm sure you can relate after not having to kind of do the corporate thing for a while. And then it all just came back to me. And I thought, you know what, this is not what I want to be doing. And this is not going to make me happy. And, yeah, like I said, I guess because it was all in Spanish. So my Spanish wasn't trying to explain to them why I have to change my mind. It's just going to be way too hard. So just exit stage left, but then it was okay, well, now what? And that now what took 2 to 3 years, I don't remember exactly how long, but a lot of soul searching, and a lot of kind of, you know, there were many times I thought I don't know what I'm going to do, you know. And then Providence just, you know, you hear it so often, and it's hard to believe it when you're on the other side of the fence, that if you want something enough and you believe in it and don't give up, but it will come to you. And when you're on the side of the fence waiting, it's really, really hard to think that is going to happen, but that is what happened. And one day it was just a massive aha moment for me where I saw the opportunity and thought, okay, that's it. You know, now there was a massive learning curve between that's it and now, but the point was that I had a tremendous faith that was the direction I needed to go in.
And you were hungry, weren't you? I mean, I remember when you were beginning to build your website, and you invited me over on a few occasions to help you record some of your very first videos.
Like that, yeah.
And I just remember being bowled over by you at that time and all that you were doing. Because even however many years ago that was, 5-6 years ago, that was building a website 5-6 years ago was a different thing to what it is now. Mm. I mean, it's become a much simpler process. I mean, it's still, like you say, all on 24/7 when you have an online business. Mm. And you have to be able to set boundaries. But I just remember you... and helping you film some of the recipes and the videos, and then also in the gym that we used to train in together as well. It's just brilliant.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing to watch you and watch you online over the years. And I remember back then specifically when you We had the same trainer at one point, and you were entering your very first competition. Now, tell us a little about this, because Belinda, anybody who's seen the social media posts to get to this recording, this radio show, will have seen the most beautiful picture of Belinda. She's this gorgeous blonde. She's in a bikini. She's got this turquoise eyeshadow. She's just oozing gorgeousness left, right, and center.
Thank you, Amy.
And Belinda, you've just shared with us that you are now 52. This was about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago,
yeah,
that you took these photographs.
Yeah.
I mean, your story is just so incredible. I want to share a bit more with people because it really demonstrates that anything is possible. And so I just wanted to, I really want people to tune into this photograph of you staring right at the camera, this gorgeous blonde hair, this beautiful turquoise eyeshadow, you're in a bikini, you're staring right at the camera. It's incredible. And at that point, you were, what, 47, 48, something like that?
Yeah, yeah. I think I was a little younger. I think that was actually my first shoot, that photo. So I think I was 44, 45. Yeah.
Okay. So even then, I mean, it's beautiful and it's incredible. And I just want you to share a little bit from your corporate days when you were still in Australia, how you felt about yourself, because I know you share this as well. I've actually just watched your video called, and your blog post, which I want people to go and check out as well. It's called The Mystery of Cellulite, and in brackets, solved. And you've really taken so much research and condensed it into one video. You've had over 15,000 views on that one video alone. So that tells me that what it, you know, the contents of it is brilliant. I just want you to come back to how you were feeling in your corporate role in yourself, like physically, because that was really the that was one of the catalysts then your very first competition. So how did you feel physically within yourself at that time when everything was falling down around you?
Yeah. Well, this is what happens is that I found and observed, and it happened with me and it happens with many women and it happens with men too, but my kind of market or the people that I coach are mostly women, is that, you know, we start off in our 20s and we're somewhat relatively healthy. But over time, as the responsibilities of life pile on us, whether that's starting a family, whether that's career, whether that's looking after our parents, we gradually stop taking care of our health and well-being, and it being at the sort of more or less at the top of the list. And it's a kind of a natural tendency for our eating to go downhill, for our exercise and fitness to go downhill, and we start losing that connection with our body, and we start camouflaging and hiding the things we don't like about ourselves in clothes, and our clothes size goes up, and we start wearing clothes that don't kind of show our shape. And I myself in my 30s just completely disconnected from my body. I didn't, and maybe that was due to the fact of being so sick as a child and a way I coped with that. But I didn't actually realize that I was, you know, putting on quite a lot of weight. Not only that, I was covered in cellulite from the waist down, deep cellulite.
Right.
And, you know, I was not in a good place. I lived on sugar. I started my day, I think I had 4 or 5 strong coffees with 3 sugars in each coffee. I had biscuits, cookies and biscuits for breakfast. I had lollies at my desk at work in my management role. I had all sorts of lollies and sweets in a basket that I just snacked on all day long. So I had pure sugar all day.
Right.
And I'm not exaggerating on that. And then I'd come home and have something of a semblance of an evening dinner, which included dessert. And so I was just, it's a wonder I didn't develop adult diabetes. So it was in my late 30s that we were invited to a party, a pool party, and I didn't own a bathing suit, let alone a bikini, and I thought I'd better go and buy something, and I went into one of those horrible dressing rooms does my head in, like how they're trying to sell clothes, right? And it just is like a magnifying glass on every imperfection of your body, and I looked in the mirror, and all I could see was this I don't know. I was in tears. It was, my body was just had this terrible cellulite from the waist down, really deep. And it was the first time I really actually noticed it, because I just had stopped really looking at myself in the mirror. It was such a shock. And I thought, what happened to my body? And this happens to a lot of women, that there is kind of like a defining moment where you just realize that, okay, things have really gone downhill. And I need to do something. And then it's like, well, what? And so for me, that was started off with just doing a little bit of exercise and then gradually improving my eating. But it took a while. But I didn't, at that point, I felt pretty crappy. And I think I was, losing my sense of self-confidence in myself as a woman. Because it's that, at that stage, you feel like your looks are slipping through your fingers. And then kind of what amplified it all was the fact that, you know, I found out my husband had been cheating on me and lying for many, many years. And I was suddenly on my own. And I just thought, okay, I'm done and dusted. I'm over the hill. You know, it's all over. You know, at whatever age I was, 39, and nothing could have been further from the truth. But I felt I was pretty low, and it took a while to rebuild and reconnect. And that inside out transformation that you touched on in the intro, that's how it happened. It happened by adjusting my outlook on life. On myself and revaluing myself as worthy of taking care of, because I think a lot of women, you know, everything else takes priority: their children, their husband, their career, and they just don't make that don't think they're worthy or make time for themselves, or they feel guilty if they do. But I wanted to share something about that photo that you mentioned, because it's good little story that I haven't ever talked about, and which kind of illustrates how powerful the power of the mind to shift our self-image. And, you know, I think of the mind like a kaleidoscope, that with one little tweak of our thinking, we can dramatically change the picture that we're looking at and our outlook on life. And that photo that you used to promote the program, just minutes before, 2 minutes before that was taken, like the photographer I worked with, who you may have met, was incredibly gifted and has gone on to do wonderful things, but is highly, what's the word, for, a bit of a princess. A bit of a princess, and also very, very critical of the models he worked with. Now, I was not a model, in inverted commas. I was a fitness model. It was about the physique, which that was very early days, and people didn't really understand what is that anyway. So he looked at me as I should be like a Vogue model. You know, I should look like, which I was far from that. And right, just before that photo was taken, I said to him, look, we need some kind of cover shots, magazine cover shots, Head and Shoulders, you know, very commercial. That's the look that we need to go for. And we got that clear. And then he lined up the camera to do the shot. And then he sort of kind of made a grimace on his face and started whispering really loudly to the makeup artist, which was basically, oh my God, her front tooth is crooked. Oh my God. I can't take these close photos. Oh my God, her tooth is crooked. Because I had, my front tooth was crooked. I don't know if you remember, Amy, I had braces. Yeah. I got braces in cinema. Yeah, and it was the very first time I'd been in front of the camera. And can you imagine, like, I could feel the tears welling up in my eyes. I just thought, oh my God, like, this is so humiliating. And I thought, and then I just thought, no, I want this. I can do this. And I don't care if my front tooth is crooked. I am going to get these freaking photos. And I just sucked it up. And I just, and I thought, no. And I just looked into the camera and just thought, projected the beautiful person that I felt I was on the inside, you know. And like any, this is just to illustrate that, you know, everyone has the insecurities and everyone has imperfections, even the most beautiful people in the world and even the most beautiful models, for example. And there's a whole spectrum. And the thing is that it's our personal journey and not to fixate on our imperfections. And that's what, as women, we tend to do. When we look in the mirror, we have this tendency to always inspect and look at and notice first our imperfections, whether that's on the face, you know, the wrinkles, fine lines and dark circles, or on our body, the saggy bits, the spongy bits, the cellulite bits, and okay, how are they tracking? And what is that doing? It's just constantly reinforcing that negative to ourselves. And 99 times out of 100, people do not notice those things. They notice the sparkle in your eyes, your beautiful smile, your you know, womanly shape, you know, the sexiness of your butt. They're not fixating on imperfections, you know. It's us that do that to ourselves. So I really encourage everyone listening today that no matter where you're at, you know, take a moment just to think about the good, the positive things. What are the things that you've been complimented for? And remind yourselves of that, not constantly kind of keep reinforcing the negatives that we see in ourselves.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for sharing that, because I'm looking at the picture now as you're talking to me, and I can just see that in your eyes. And you're gazing so deeply into the camera, and it's just such a brilliant shot. So this is Amy Hackett-Jones interviewing Belinda Benn, a transformation coach. And Belinda works particularly with women on their physiques, but the transformation happens both within and without. Now, Belinda, I'd love you to tell us where people can reach you. If you'd like to read out your website and your Facebook link.
Sure, yeah. So you can reach me. Actually, Google is one of the easiest ways. And if you pop into Google, my first name, Belinda, B-E-L-I-N-D-A, and my last name, Ben, B for ball, E-double-N. That'll come up with my blog. And so on. And then and if you type in Belinda Benn Facebook, that'll come up with my fan page. You can search for me on Facebook as well. Yep.
Wonderful. So I want to now start delving into some of the things that, because this show is about being brilliant, and you obviously ooze that left, right, and center. So we were talking in our email conversations prior to the show, you know, what are really the things that you want the listeners of the show to walk away with at the end? So one of them was how to overcome self-doubt and limited thinking. And we just started touching on that, which is, you know, to look at the positive things, look at the nice things, look at the things that you've been complimented on about yourself, and focus on those rather than the negative things. And I have this saying, you know, energy flows where attention goes. And most of us, most of the time, like you say, we focus on the negative. So the more we focus on the negative, the more the negative is going to expand. Whereas the more we focus on the positive, the nice things about ourselves we get complimented on, all that will expand. And I know for me, for a long time, when I was very, very self-conscious, I couldn't even receive compliments. You know, it was that difficult to hear somebody say something nice about me. So I was just wondering if you have anything else to add to that, how to overcome self-doubt and limited thinking so that people can really start stepping into a more brilliant version of themselves.
Okay. Just a couple of thoughts about receiving compliments. And I think we're all have been guilty of that. And what helped me was to really genuinely thank the person that was giving me the compliment. Because that does two things. It makes that person feel really good. Like when we kind of put ourselves down and go, oh, no, yeah, I'm really not that good at whatever it might be, then that kind of takes away from the gift that they're giving to you. And so when you sort of thank them and, you know, thank you, I really appreciate you telling me that, it makes them feel really good, but it also it makes it easier to acknowledge and accept that compliment as true. So that helped me. And the other thing was about overcoming, I guess, negative thinking and self-doubt. And I work with this a lot with the women I coach on my Get Lean program. And, you know, yes, it's about healthy eating. Yes, it's about exercising. But it's equally about creating a healthy lifestyle and a healthy lifestyle of habits. And this, obviously, negative thinking is often a very ingrained habit that we've developed over many, many years. And these thought patterns often can be traced back to our childhood and early teenage years and experiences. And often revisiting that can be a way to become free, to break free from those negative thoughts. Just recognizing the source of that. And why, you know, like when did I first think, you know, I'll give you one that I had growing up, that I was always called clumsy in my family, that I was really clumsy because I knocked things over and so on and so forth. And we didn't realize that I had a turned eye, and that affects your eye-hand coordination. And I would misjudge distances a little bit when going to pick something up. It's just very, very subtle, but it causes you to, you know, not be quite as accurate, which causes more accidents. And I grew up with this thought of being clumsy. And in my 20s one day, I dropped something, or we all drop things and knock into things.
Yeah.
And I replayed that in my head. Oh, I'm so clumsy. I'm just a clumsy clot. You know, my dad used to call me a clumsy clot. I think it's very English. And, you know, I thought, no, I am not going to accept that. You know, everyone knocks things over. Everyone drops things. That doesn't mean that I have to accept that label. And I started consciously rejecting that thought, you know, and of course, then it happened less often, you know, and when it did happen, I didn't feel bad about it. I just thought, oh, well, you know, no problem. And so that taught me that, and I see it with the women that I coach, that often experience painful experiences, comments that are made, sarcastic comments, you know, can be simple as seeing yourself in a picture at a wedding and going, oh my God, what happened to my body, becomes really ingrained. And that's all we can see. And when we can locate the source of it, it's, like I said, it becomes easier to go, you know what, that was a more or less a one-off comment, a one-off experience, and that the past doesn't have to write my future. I can choose to let go of that and change it. Yeah.
Yeah, we do have that power, absolutely. Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. And another thing you wanted to talk about was how to find your why, because, you know, when you were at your lowest point and then you found the courage deep down within you to go traveling and transform your entire life, how did you find your why, and what do you teach people, you know, when you're coaching them, how to find theirs?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think this is one of the differences with my program, that a lot of, you know, like I said, a lot of weight loss programs or fitness programs focus just purely on external goals, or achieving an external goal, a number on the scale, or, you know, I want to do my triathlon and achieve a certain time or whatever it might be. And I find when you find a bigger goal than just an external physical change, that becomes a lot more of a powerful driver. And that is really coming back to reconnecting with the real you. And like I mentioned, that through our life, there's a tendency, especially with women, to lose touch with their real you or the real person because of all the shoulds in life, you know, whether the should as a wife, the should as a mother, the shoulds in your work, or even the social pressures. That's one of the reasons I travel, to get away from the social norms of we should do this and we should do that and you have to dress a certain way. And that can become incredibly suffocating over time, and you really lose touch with, well, hang on a minute, what do I think and what do I really want for me and my life? And this is why relationships can disintegrate in the kind of late 40s and 50s, because often the woman or the man can kind of wake up one day and say, hang on a minute, like, what happened to me? Where have I gone? My life is just defined by my family and career. What about my dreams and desires? And so I think tapping into the finding your why is starting to, often thinking back to your childhood is a really good starting point of what were the things that, the dreams I had growing up, you know, what were the things that really got me excited? What were the traits that made me unique? And reconnecting with that. And as you do that, it's amazing how opportunities can start opening up, and we see them. It's more so that we actually can we see them because we're looking for them, as in what are the things that really sort of interest and excite me. And so, yeah, that's, I think I had the, some people are forced into it, Amy, through life tragedy. Life tragedy forces them into finding their why. And that's not a preferred path, you know, because it's really painful. And that was my case. I would have just trippity-tripped along, I'm sure. And my life wouldn't have been very happy at all. I'm sure of that. Had not, you know, my husband decided to confess all his sins to me one day. You know, eventually the wheels would have fallen off. But I was forced to, you know, do a tremendous soul-searching and find the why. But through the women I've coached, even something as simple as going, hang on a minute, I'm going down a slippery slope. I've gained 20 pounds or 10 kilos. I'm puffing to go up the stairs. I can't keep up with my children. You know, I need to do something. That can be the beginning of finding the why and the reason why do I really want to change. Is it just a number? Is it just losing 10 kilos or is it more about my quality of life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
And so before we move on to the other couple of points we have here, I want to just now go back into your story a little bit and come back to these other couple of points afterwards, because when we were in Panama and you had, coming back to the photo shoot, you had this photo shoot, at that point, you in your journey and in finding your why, you entered a fitness competition. Now, this isn't just any sort of fitness competition. This was, for want of a better word, a bodybuilding competition. So you had gone from in your 30s to, you know, feeling out of shape and full of cellulite and that sort of thing, to suddenly becoming so lean and so in shape and such with such a beautiful physique that you had built enough confidence to be able to stand on stage in a bikini in a competition and to come home with a trophy. Now, I mean, this it was such an amazing thing for me to witness. You were such an inspiration to me back then as well. And so I'd just like you to talk a little bit about that experience of reaching that goal, which was such a marker for you, because I know from then you suddenly started getting all sorts of media coverage, left, right, and center. Your story was one that inspired people, they wanted to hear about. So just tell us a little bit about that story.
And I have to apologize. Thank you, Amy. Can you hear that alarm in the background? I'm sorry if that's intrusive.
Sure.
The house. Yeah, the house next door has decided to go off. Okay, so that is, that was a very fascinating experience. And I would never have done anything like that had I stayed, for want of a better word, in my old life, you know, back in Australia. And one of the reasons I decided to go traveling was to allow me to let go of the social norms and the pressures, right, and like I said, the shoulds, you know, and because, and it, sadly, And often people are very well-meaning, but, you know, they make judgments which are really discouraging. Like, so we kind of announce our goals or our dreams and people are like, you know, oh my God, like, don't you think you're a little old for that? Or, oh my, I'd never, you know, I'd never, I mean, thanks for, you know, thanks for the encouragement, you know, or I'd never, yeah. you know, be seen yeah. in a bikini or, oh, I'm past all that, or, you know, whatever it is that people are often projecting their own fears and insecurities onto you. And it's, yeah, and it's really hard to escape that. And without realizing, one, I can now see looking back that that was one of the reasons I went traveling to in and to the other side of the world where there were hardly any Aussies, hardly any white women, you know, Caucasian women in their early 40s, let alone surfing. And, you know, that, as you know, because you were living in Panama as well, enabled us to, you know, just kind of explore the different versions of ourselves and put aside the social, you know, social expectations and pressures. And so with the competition, yeah, I really did say to myself, it's just something I would like to do once. And, you know, walking up on stage, I think I might have been, I can't remember then, maybe 45, 46, in, you know, next to nothing. One of those competitions. You know, ripped and lean, you know, and then all of it being in Spanish as well. There was another layer to that too, you know, that it wasn't my culture that I was comfortable and familiar with. That, yeah, it took a tremendous, you know, what's the word, confidence and determination to put aside, you know, the social norms. And when you, the beautiful thing about it is when you have the courage to step out of that comfort zone, there are, you know, it's like the karma of life, there are incredible rewards and the richness of the rewards that come from being really courageous and taking that step. And so, yeah, I'm really proud of the photos that I have from that event and have really precious memories. And I think, you know, it took a lot of hard work to get there. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, and in doing so, I realized that wasn't the path I wanted to go down. It's not a healthy one physically to be so lean and ripped and maintain that longer term. But it was a good experience. And it also showed me that anyone can put aside the social norms and pressures if they really want to. And that when you do, like you said, from that opened up all these opportunities that I was able to then turn into an online business.
Fantastic. And like I said, it was such an inspiration to see you do that. You know, from that, I drew a lot of strength and a lot of courage for myself to heal from my various accidents and to start competing in triathlons, which was my thing at the time. Yeah. So I want you to just talk about your program, because we you know, I don't want to run out of time and not talk about it, because it's such a brilliant program, very unique. It's called the Get Lean Program. So just tell a little bit more about that and where people can have a look at it online.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, getleanprogram.com. And the word lean is very interesting, because a lot of programs this day talk about weight loss, losing weight and so on. But lean is a different thing. And getting lean is about building lean muscle mass, having a strong, healthy body, as well as lower body fat. And that's your body composition. And I find the old school thinking for many women, as I said, is the number on the scale. Like, I want to weigh X. And in fact, that number on the scale is a composite of our body fat percentage, our lean muscle mass, our internal organs, our skeletal structure, and a water content. It's not just fat, you know. So what happens is, if you lose, and many women may have, can relate to this, if you lose a significant amount of weight without developing strong foundation of muscle to firm shape and tone, you're then going to develop the skinny fat syndrome, where things are saggy. Cellulite can look worse. And this is particularly a problem as we get older. So a big thrust of my program is a 90-day eating plan to help you lose weight, but combined with female-specific workouts to target the trouble zones so that you can shape and firm those areas that, as the years go by, tend to go south. So the butt, the legs, the lower tummy, the hips, under the arms, all of those areas can be dramatically improved by using female-specific targeted exercise. And that's what I did, spend a lot of time working on when I was living in Panama and transforming my own body. Because you've got to remember, I didn't exercise till I was 37. I didn't go into a gym until I was 42 or 43. And so, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm behind the eight ball. I've never done this before. I want a round, firm, lifted butt. I want a tight inner thighs. I want to get rid of that cellulite. I want a flat tummy. You know, I wanted all the things that any woman would think of when they see a beautiful, fit body. And I found that traditional weight training did not achieve that. And so I started a journey of experimenting with what I call fusion-style training, which is body weight together with free weights, using the mind-to-muscle connection to target those specific trouble zones. So
very important.
And then together with that, what I found is a lot of online programs, you're kind of left on your own. You go and buy it and then you download it and then you're kind of like, well, what now? So I added in the coaching component, which is a massive part of the success, that you're not on your own, that we have a team of coaches and myself who will guide you through the program and help you with your eating and develop a customized workout program week by week to make sure that you succeed, because you need that guidance, support and motivation. So it has three components to the program, and no matter where you're starting from, whether you're super beginner and never exercised, or you want to compete, you know, and you're already in great shape and you just want to take it to the next level, the program caters for all of those levels. And particularly, as we talked about, the coaching support that helps develop the habits that are necessary to make the permanent change.
Which is so fundamental. So this is Belinda's Get Lean program, and it's getleanprogram.com. That's where you can find it. Now, just moving on from that point, you just mentioned that support and changing the fundamental habits that to most of us, we don't even realize that they're habits. You know, we're just sort of running our lives on autopilot. So one of your next points that you wanted to talk about and share in the show was why change and evolving is essential to your happiness and success. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, I think there's a really interesting research being done in terms of what keeps us young. And I read this a few years ago. I'm always into that, right? Okay, what's going to keep us young? So what they found was that learning new things keeps us young. It actually builds new neural pathways. So they used to think that we had a set number of neurons, you know, and that they gradually die off, and that's why we have a cognitive decline. But they've actually fairly recently found that new neural pathways can be formed, and we can keep our brain young through learning new things. And it's the same with our body. And when we kind of are fueling that youthfulness, chemical youthfulness, right, it makes it a lot easier to pursue and find and achieve happiness and success in our lives. So again, and I think this is a thing we've been talking about, is what are the thought patterns and habits that have held me back or are holding me back, and that's from the past. And to move forward into the future, change and evolution is necessary and inevitable. Things are always shifting. So one of the traits of aging is resistance to change. And research, as I've said, and so what they found was, even on a very small scale, like trying new foods, they did a lot of this kind of massive survey, and they found that people were, you know, starting from around their late 30s onwards, you know, much more resistant to trying new foods, going to new places, taking on new experiences. I mean, you take a look at a child and they're just like, everything's new, and they've got this hunger, right, for trying and testing new things. And we kind of gradually lose that as we get very comfortable and kind of set in our ways. And so just recognizing that and going, hey, yeah, you know, challenging the status quo and being courageous enough to take on something new and learn something new will, in and of itself, help to lead us closer to the path of happiness, fulfillment, and contentment. And so it can be just something small. It doesn't have to be like a massive project. If you're listening today and there's just something you've always wanted to try, and it might seem a little crazy, you know, you owe it to yourself to give it a go. You just never know what it may open up. And the thing is, the beautiful thing is, when we tune into that and we tune into, you know, the real us, you know, our real need wants, and we stay true to them, and we go down that path, we start attracting other people of like-minded to us, other people who are similar, who are going to encourage and support us. That's the beautiful thing. So that's why, you know, we all know, like, the friends that we have around us are really important, and it's really important to minimize those who kind of pull you down and criticize. But how do we find people that are going to lift us up and encourage us in towards the path we want to go? And as you start to follow that path, those people will come along. And you it's really exciting when it happens, and it's sort of self-affirming.
Yeah, and it's so true. And that, I mean, you've experienced it, I've experienced it, especially living in foreign countries. But even if you are, you know, if you don't have that opportunity in life to go live somewhere else, even in your own society, in your own village, town, city, wherever it is you live, if you start taking up a new hobby, if you start doing things ever so slightly differently, just one small step at a time, whether it's you take up yoga classes or pottery classes or art classes or a new interest or a book club or whatever, things just start opening up for you. And I know you are testament to that. You're talking about it. I'm testament to that as well. And just how that energy then carries you forward. And really maintaining an inquisitive mind, like you say, when we get to our 30s, 40s and beyond, we tend to close down and get set in our ways. Whereas if we're able to watch kids, especially if people have kids, or if you don't have kids, watch nieces and nephews or other people's kids, and just watch how inquisitive they are and learn something from them, because that's how we continue to learn and grow. And as you say, that change, that evolution, I mean, evolution is going to happen anyway. If we have an intentional process to it, if we are, you know, if we're focusing, as I said before, energy flows where attention goes. If you are intentionally focusing on growing and learning and developing and building in new interests and habits, you then are able to step outside, as you were saying before, the sort of conventional thinking that holds us back and holds us in place.
Absolutely, Amy. Yeah.
It's so fascinating. Wow. Okay. So our fourth point was looking at how looking and feeling great is a gateway to building self-confidence and strength on the inside, so you can make other changes to the outside of your life. So we've been touching on this already, but could you share with us, you know, how you describe how you feel on the inside now, and how, and then see how that oozes out in your confidence and in the videos that you share on Facebook and all the rest of it. How describe how you used to feel, and then describe now how you feel about yourself on the inside and outside.
Yeah, okay. That's a good question. And with that point four, how looking and feeling great is the gateway to building self-confidence and strength on the inside. The reason I wanted to highlight this is that With my, when I was younger, and particularly when I was a musician, there was a, and then with my studies, there was a lot of emphasis on your, the value of you as, your value is very much focused and dependent on our inner person, and that the outside shell of our body is just that, you know, it's actually not that important, and that the, that, you know, in fact, it could be considered to be vain. I grew up with this kind of idea that attention to our body is kind of vain and self-centered and self-indulgent, and that the higher thinking is, you know, that we, it's actually more about who we are on the inside. Now, there is something to that, but I was really surprised with my journey that went in my, around 40 onwards, that as the changes that I made, which were really about lifestyle, you know, about embracing life. And as I got fitter and stronger, I had a tremendous list of firsts that I did that I'd never done in my life. You know, the first kayaking, whitewater rafting, jumping out of a plane, abseiling rocks, you know, rock climbing. What else? You know, there's so many of these kind of firsts that I did in my 40s that I, and it was so exhilarating and exciting. And I realized, wow, you know, the changes on the outside, as I lost weight and as I kind of became fitter and stronger, I was able to do more things. You know, it was just, I was able to embrace the richness of life. And of course, I felt good about myself. I carried myself differently and I felt more confident. And what I found was, because I was healing then on the inside from the painful experiences that I had, that it helped me to it helped restore my sense of belief in myself and confidence and inner strength. So they go interchangeably. That often I find women that come onto my program come on feeling pretty low about how they look and their self-image, and they're carrying kind of the weight of past failures with them, and that carries over into other areas of their life. And then as they start to see progress on the program, you know, and they start to lose a little weight, they start to master the workouts, they start to feel themselves getting fit, that flows over into many other aspects of their life, into their relationships, into their career, and they start having the confidence to step out and try new things. And I thought, wow, I was wrong when I was younger. You know, it is really important to feel good about yourself on the outside. And it's good, you know, and to feel, be the best you can be. It's not about trying to be someone else or trying to look like someone else. It's just trying to feel and look great again. And that does translate over into a kind of inner well-being that enables us to flourish on in other areas of our life.
Yeah. It's so important, isn't it? Just that sense of just feeling that much, that little bit better about yourself every day, and really taking that out into your life. And like you said, in your 40s, you were having all of these firsts.
Yep.
And really having the courage to do that, which is... which is amazing, and you know, in the first place, is just having the courage to step out and beyond any perceived limitations that had been, that you know, you'd grown up with. Wow, Belinda, my goodness, this hour has just disappeared.
Awesome. Yeah.
I've had so much fun talking to you again.
Thank you.
I've been interviewing Belinda Benn. She is the transformation coach. You can find her on Facebook at Belinda Benn Fans, and her website is belindabennsblog.com. Again, put Belinda Benn, B-E-N-N, into Google and you will find her. I do just want to say Belinda does a lot of Facebook Live videos. I was just watching one before we came onto the show, which she posted only on the 10th of September, The Mystery of Cellulite, and then in brackets, Sold. And you've already had over 15,000 views, which is amazing. So she's been featured on Muscle Mag, Shape, Yahoo News, bodybuilding.com, Oxygen, Natural Bodies, Muscle, you know, all sorts. So please do check her out. She's a dear friend. We've had such a great conversation today. Is there anything you would like to add, Belinda, to the Being Brilliant listeners today?
No, thank you, Amy. No, I've been very honored to share today. I hope there's been something that has provided some inspiration and some guidance and some wisdom. Never, ever, ever give up on your dreams, and never say never. You know, don't let anyone tell you that you can't do your dreams and what you want to do, because you are the master of your destiny.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Thank you so much, Belinda. Our takeaways from today were how to overcome self-doubt and limited thinking, how to find your why change and evolving is essential to your happiness and success, and how looking and feeling great is a gateway to building self-confidence and strength on the inside so you can make other changes to the outside of your life. This was episode number 18 of the Being Brilliant radio show with Amy Hackett-Jones. You can find me at www.amyhackett.jones.com. Belinda Ben was my brilliant. So thank you so much for listening, everybody. Go out there and be your brilliant souls, everyone. And until next time, ciao for now.
I can do anything, I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want, I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.